Hello, and welcome to Why Wars Happened, a weekly history podcast where we talk about what led to war in history. I'm your host, Emily Ross, and today we're going to be discussing the things that led to the American Revolution, with a focus on Virginia this season. Okay, so where we left off in the last episode was that Virginia was suffering from really low tobacco prices. They had been through several wars with the Dutch, and they suffered through a terrible hurricane and a disease that killed off many of their cows and bulls. Fortunately, this other war with the Dutch eventually ended too. Now the colonists could get to business dealing with another issue they'd been facing. That was the issue of land that the king had given to some of his buddies. And it wasn't just any land in Virginia, it was all of the land in Virginia, the whole thing. Originally, his father, Charles I, had granted only part of Virginia to a bunch of noblemen. But then Charles was executed by Parliament. Now fast forward to when Charles II was put on the throne. He renewed the gift of land, but now it wasn't just part of Virginia, it was all of Virginia. And instead of a bunch of noblemen owning it, it was just these two guys, Culpeper and Arlington. These guys would operate kind of like the Virginia Company did, and the Virginia government would have to obey them, and these guys would have to obey the king. They weren't allowed to do certain things that would break the English law, but otherwise, it was pretty open for whatever these two guys wanted to do. Not only that, it also gave them the right to certain income from the colony. They were entitled to money from colonists that was kind of like rent that people paid for any land their house was on. They not only demanded this money, they also demanded 4 years of back payments from the colonists. The Virginia government was supposed to be collecting this land rent money all along, but they had found that it was too hard and too complicated to do so. Also, people really, really didn't want to pay land rent. So Virginia hadn't been collecting this money from any of the colonists. And now these two dudes came in like Virginians weren't a fully functioning society on their own, and they demanded Virginia pay them and pay them years of back rent. The colonists were completely outraged. If this weren't insane enough to demand of Virginians, another thing that was super terrible about the grant from Charles II was that it required everyone who had been given any land in any area of Virginia to get brand new permission from these two guys to keep the land. Imagine if some other state in America or province in your country suddenly told you that you no longer owned your house and that you had to get their buddy's permission if you wanted to keep it. The two men would also inherit any property of people who died without an heir. They also had the power to divide the land into counties and choose police. And if any colonists wanted to own land in Virginia and they didn't already, they would have to get permission from these two guys first. The assembly immediately wrote to England listing the reasons why the document giving these two men the rights to Virginia should be canceled. One of the things they said was that any document giving these two guys the right to Virginia violated the documents and promises that Virginia already had from the king, giving them freedom from such things. The kings of the past had always promised them that they wouldn't be under the authority of other Englishmen or Virginians except for the ones in the government. Basically, Virginia had been promised that Virginia would always be between Virginia and the English government, with nobody in between them. These guys would be in between them. They also said that it would be impossible for colonists to pay back taxes. People simply didn't have the money. And the part that allowed these guys to decide who gets what land could possibly take land that's been long occupied by colonists and give it to someone new. They could change the government that had already been elected in the colony. The whole thing could ruin Virginia. Governor Berkeley in the assembly also wrote to one of the men explaining all of these things and humbly begged the men to consider Virginia's reasons for not submitting to them. There was some back and forth between the two men in the assembly, and it's really quite fascinating the details about what went on between them. But seeing as this is a podcast about the background to the American Revolution and why it happened, we won't go into too much of this here. Just know that it basically ended with the two guys giving up their rights to all of Virginia, except for one small area. Virginians wanted to buy back that small area from those two guys so they wouldn't own any part of the colony. The men eventually agreed to this. If the two men sold that area of land back to Virginia, they would get some money from that. If they refused to sell that area of land to Virginia, the people wouldn't pay them anything, and the assembly wouldn't even acknowledge their right to any payments at all. The two men had no choice, really. Possibly, they could have fought with the assembly and likely would have won. The king had given them this land. The king loved them. They were favorites of the king. They did have a legal right to the land. But, luckily for Virginia, the men decided to take the money and give up all claims to Virginia. Sounds good. Deal reached. The only issue now was that everyone needed permission from the king for the deal to go through. So, the assembly wrote to the king. They asked the king to allow them to buy this small area of land from the two men. They also asked him to guarantee that he would never again give Virginia land to people. They wanted him to promise the colonists that they would never answer to anyone other than the king or queen of England, that in the future, England would have to include a representative from Virginia if it ever wanted to do something that involved Virginia, and, just to be sure, they wanted the king to re-promise, as old kings had, that no taxes would be asked of Virginians without the Virginians voting to approve those taxes first. I'm emphasizing this point because it comes up again and again. At the center of almost every revolution is one thing: taxes. Taxes being demanded from the colonists without the permission, or at least having a vote on the taxes, had been an issue since the very first year of settlement in Jamestown. So the king did read the letter from the assembly, and his advisors advised him to approve it. The king agreed, and so a new document was written for him to sign, giving Virginia everything they had asked for. But for some unknown reason, it was written but not signed by the king. He did have a lot of other colonies, plus England, to worry about, so he's probably just busy for a while. He eventually did sign it, but just before it could be sent back to the colonies, where it would give the green light for the deal to go through, Virginia's largest, most explosive rebellion broke out and everything changed. How did this rebellion come about? Well, there were a lot of things that made people angry at the Virginia government, but if it had not been for the actions of Governor Berkeley through all of this, the rebellion might not have happened. When their governor had died, the people of Virginia had pushed and pushed and begged Governor Berkeley to come back as their governor when the king was restored on the English throne. So you have this hero guy running things, back in charge, and the people love him. He's a legend. But remember when I said that things get a little dicey and Governor Berkeley falls into darkness and becomes a wicked supervillain? Well, this is where it starts, in his second term as the governor of Virginia. To start, let's look at how he thought about the world. He was a man who was well known for his ability to govern, to fight, and to defend the rights of the people. But he didn't really think that people had all the rights that would become normal to have in our world today. He believed that it was the height of foolishness to allow people to participate in their own government. The king or queen should be the one telling everyone what to do, and everyone should obey. Remember that he grew up as the male version of a lady-in-waiting. He had lived in the palace with the king and attended to his every need. From dressing him to being his best friend, Governor Berkeley was always in support of the king. At one point, Governor Berkeley told the English government that he, quote, "Thanks God there are no free schools nor printing in Virginia, and I hope we shall not have these for 100 years, for learning has brought disobedience and heresy and groups into the world." He thought that printing had made these disobedient groups known to others, and bad things had been said about his awesome government. "God keep us from both," he said. Which basically meant that he thought teaching people to read and write had given them a way to disobey and criticize the government, and he hopes that no public schools or printing comes anywhere near Virginia for another 100 years. Nice. This gives us a glimpse into his mind. He may have been a super cool guy with lots of justice for the people, but he held common beliefs that the people should obey and only say nice things about those who rule over them, like the king, the members of his council, and, I don't know, himself. It helps us understand why a man beloved for his justice would end up turning on the people with such brutality. Berkeley chose the police, he chose the judges, and he chose the members of the governor's council, which was half of the assembly. He also used the police that he chose to intimidate voters and return false election results. He made sure that election results were in favor of the people he wanted to serve on the other half of the assembly. In addition to this, a lot of the people who served as elected representatives in the assembly also at the same time held positions of power like police or in the military, where Governor Berkeley had chosen them for that position and could take them out of that position. Not only did everyone in power owe their position to Berkeley, Berkeley also gave them money, privileges, and other rewards that bound them to him very closely. In fact, he kept the assembly just as it was for 15 years, in which there was only one, maybe two, elections. This period is known as the Long Assembly. So Governor Berkeley controlled everything, the courts, the police, and the assembly. Nobody dared stand up to him. Nobody dared vote in a way that would go against his wishes. If they did, they might find themselves out of power, out of money, and later on, at the end of a rope. A famous rebel leader, Nathaniel Bacon, whom we'll be covering in a future episode, once said, quote, "What hope is there of redress in appealing to the very persons our complaints do accuse?" The people of Virginia had gone from practically self-government during Oliver Cromwell's rule to having no real voice in the government at all during Berkeley's second term as governor. So just what kind of ruler was Governor Berkeley when it came to attacks from the natives? How would he respond, and how would he allow others to respond? Those decisions were a major part of the rebellion to come. That's all for today. Thanks for tuning in. Join us next week when we discuss the arrival of the rebellion's leader in America. Subscribe so you don't miss the next episode, and comment your thoughts on this episode below. See you next time on Why Wars Happened.